We invite you to visit Maserati Jacksonville today for a personalized luxury driving experience like no other. Plus, for a limited time, take advantage of our historically low interest rates. Visit online at MaseratiJacksonville.com.
All right, it's Saturday kickoff on 1010XL, and it is Championship Saturday in college football, where all of your hopes and dreams can be dashed by 12 men and women in a posh resort in suburban Dallas. Welcome in, everyone. I'm Matt Aziz, Terry Novell, and this is Saturday kickoff brought to you by our great friends at Bueller Air Conditioning.
Week 14, Matt. How did it happen? Week 14.
We're going to go for 2 hours, break down the biggest games of the weekend. End of the season, actually. This is it. This is the week.
Ooh, it's go time.
Now it's going to lead to four teams that will play in the college football playoff. The big games, the conference championships, the Heisman Trophy on the line. The college football playoff all up for grabs in one jam-packed weekend. Ooh. Or as I like to say, welcome to Championship Weekend, where your resume means nothing and the eye test means everything.
It is a... Get on the put your heels, put your fancy clothes on, get on the catwalk because 12 people are looking you up and down, right, Matt?
Yeah, you walk up and down, and they're taking notes, and yeah, it's you know you go
pirouette
for five,
here and pirouette there.
You go for 5 weeks, and they beat this team, and they beat that team, and they're from this conference, and they're from that conference, and then all of a sudden, the last week of the season, it is 100%. The eye test.
Here comes Miss Oklahoma State. She's wearing beautiful heels and a gorgeous dress, right? Made by Blankety Blank, right? You're on the catwalk, baby. 12
yeah,
people.
It's. I'll tell you this. This glorious day, okay? This glorious day is fraught with flaws, but that's the beauty of college football. We all know that. The perfection of its imperfections, all right? This day, unfortunately, will unfold without Florida, without Florida State, and without Miami part of it, all right? Only one other team on the First Coast, that the First Coast embraces, I should say. The big bad dogs of Georgia are part of today's carnival. In fact, it doesn't even matter what happens right now in today's SEC championship game against Alabama, which is a phenomenal game. Can't wait to break that down with Mike Griffith at 11:40.
Nice.
Mike's our guy, our SEC insider from Dog Nation and SEC Network. But no matter what happens today, Georgia's in the playoff. It's only a matter of seeding, okay? Georgia wins, they'll be the one seed. If Alabama wins... Alabama will be the one seed and Georgia will likely be the two seed. Could even be the other way around. Georgia still could be the one seed and Alabama be the two seed. But either way, they're not going to play each other in the semifinals. We'll go deep into that, like I said, with Griff. Around 11:40. At the end of this segment, we'll give someone another shot at picking against us and winning a sweet 1010L XL swag bag because last week's guy did not win. The week before did not win. The week before did not win.
And
seen a trend
so
here the week
on,
before
and
did not
so
win.
On and so on.
Somebody has got to step up at some point.
So basically,
okay?
We're undefeated, right? So we're moving on no matter what happens, even if they beat us today, right?
Well, first off, it's not like we're good either.
I mean,
how bad you got to be if you can't beat me and Terry? So somebody at the end of this segment, dial in 904-641-1010 and take us down and get a sweet 1010XL swag bag. The text line brought to you by our good friends Lifetime Enclosure, also open, 904-641-1010. Give us your thoughts. We'll break those down as well.
And, Matt, we haven't visited. There's been a lot of water under the bridge since we visited, including the leadoff topic that you want to catch people up on, a little backstory.
So before we get into Championship Saturday, I want to address something that's more local, more close to what we talk about here constantly on the First Coast that will have ramifications for years to come, one way or the other. So Sports Illustrated reported on Friday that representatives for both Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly reached out to Florida when Dan Mullen was fired, by the way, and expressed interest in the job. By the way, Dan Mullen's on ESPN right now breaking down how do you attack the Georgia secondary, and he's using Tennessee versus Georgia film. He's not using Florida versus Georgia film because it didn't happen, although it did happen last year, so I'll give him credit for that. All right, so... Here's the thing. Sports Illustrated says that both Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly, their reps, which means their agents, reached out to Scott Strickland and said, hey, you know, our guys are interested. But Strickland already had zeroed in on Louisiana coach and former Alabama and Clemson assistant Billy Napier. Now, this is eerily reminiscent of December 2017, when Scott Strickland had fired Jim McElwain midseason and had three coaches interested in the job, Chip Kelly, Scott Frost, and Mullen. Now, Kelly was the top guy they were going after. Kelly eventually said, no, he can't do it. He's not a good fit at Florida. And he's right. He wasn't a good fit. He went to UCLA. Scott Frost went to his alma mater, Nebraska, the worst decision he's made in his professional career. And Dan Mullen was left with, Scott Strickland was left with Dan Mullen. So here's the thing. I get it. If you have your man, you feel good about the fit and the future of the program with him, you go after your guy and you give him anything he wants to get him to sign that contract, no matter what. It's exactly what Strickland did. A very smart move. But I can promise you also, if Napier were still around Wednesday afternoon before LSU hired Brian Kelly, Florida would have gotten into a bidding war with LSU, and they would have lost that bidding war. So I think what Scott Strickland did at the end game was very smart. He saw his guy, got him, gave him an offer he couldn't refuse, gave him an offer that was good enough to wear, and I know this for a fact, by the way, for a fact, that Billy Napier was told to wait on LSU. Excuse me, on LSU. I had a little cold issue here.
Okay.
He was told to wait for LSU to see what they would do. Scott Strickland went out there and said, look, this is what I'm giving you. Take it or leave it. And it was a great offer. And he couldn't leave it.
He put a time frame on it?
Yeah, and he couldn't leave it. I don't know if he put a time frame on it. He just gave him so much of what he needed that he couldn't say no. But I know for a fact Billy Napier was told to wait.
You're right. If you slide that offer over and it's so big.
Right.
Your eyeballs are going to tell you yes or no right now.
Right, yeah. Right. So the intriguing thing, obviously, over the next few years is going to see how Kelly plays out at LSU, because he was interested in the Gators' job, according to Sports Illustrated. And I don't doubt Ross Dellinger, who's a terrific reporter.
Sure.
There's no doubt in my mind this is true. The thing is we'll get into this a little later about Napier and how it'll work out at Florida. The intriguing thing with Kelly is, they're not only in the same conference, they're rivals, and they'll play every year. So every single year, you're going to get a referendum on that decision.
Stirs up.
Brian Kelly versus Billy Napier, right? Riley is a different story because he's going to crush it at USC, and that job, which I've been saying now for weeks, is the best job in college football, especially now with the new NIL rules for players to earn money off their brand. It's a better fit for Lincoln Riley because I see him as an NFL guy, and he's eventually going to coach in the NFL. Yeah, it's a natural jump from LA.
He's 5 to 7 years at USC, and then he's probably coaching one of those West Coast NFL teams, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's his.
Absolutely.
Lincoln Riley is 38 years old.
Yeah.
People forget that.
Yeah.
He's 38 years old.
38, and he's had 5 years, at a top 8 to 10 program,
big
and now he's got the best program in college football. So he's doing things right now. So the underlying thing here, and we'll talk about this, we'll get into it a little more over the next couple of hours, is did Florida get it right? Should the Gators have at least listened to two coaches who have a track record of winning at a high level through difficult circumstances? You know, it's not easy to win at Oklahoma with those expectations and following Bob Stoops, what he did. It's certainly not easy to win at Notre Dame, and I'm going to get into that a little more too with the whole idea of Brian Kelly. Now everybody's, you know, jumping on Brian Kelly. The Vogue thing now, Terry, the Vogue thing is to jump on Brian Kelly and say what a terrible human being he is. And he's a terrible coach, and look what he did, and blah, blah, blah. You know, once you get in that little Twitter washing machine and that social media washing machine, you can't get out.
And the fake accent didn't help, but I saw what you just put.
I'm going to crush that little idea, that narrative, okay?
But what you just threw is interesting as well. Not only the recent fake accent, okay, that was cute and funny, and that's not real serious, okay? But they're dredging up the scissor lift and all from Notre Dame.
The tragedy.
My goodness gracious.
I'm telling you, man.
They're dredging that out. Let me throw my two cents.
There's some bad dudes out there in social media.
I'm not
just talking about fans. I'm talking about dudes
really
in the media.
Okay? They're really
are. And I'm part of the media, so I can say that.
Let me throw my two cents in on Scott Strickland, the way it played out, and how I can see what he did. Maybe he got those notifications, and he was deep in it with Napier.
Right.
And he got the agents kind of, hey, you know, if you're looking for a guy, my guy. I get all that. Let me throw out the old prom date scenario, though. I can understand where Strickland went. He had basically asked Napier to the prom, okay? And several weeks away from the prom, you kind of hear that, whoa, that other cute girl, Susie Q, she doesn't have a prom date yet. you know what? You got to be careful if you kind of rescind one and then you go ask Susie Q, okay? And then you're still 2 weeks away from the actual prom, but then you get word, wow, little Carol Lou, the really pretty girl.
Carol Lou.
Yeah, Cindy Lou, and then Carol. But the really pretty girl doesn't have a date either yet. She hasn't committed. And you rescind number two to go ask the third, right? Because the prom's still...
You're playing the fields, what you're saying.
You better be awful careful because you can look up, and I'm tying this into the coaching world, mm-hmm. You can look up, tonight's the prom, and you don't have a date. You gotta be real careful about that. You know, you rescind here, and you move on here, and this is a little prettier there. All of a sudden, tonight's prom Saturday, and you don't have a date.
Yeah, let me tell you this, too. We need to go to break, but I want to tell you this first. And you just underscored what the last time we were here, and I spoke about this at length when I started breaking down how I was saying Mullen's right. Going to get fired. It's going
yes.
to happen.
Yes.
And I was breaking down about Florida and how, you know, the idea of, well, who are you going to get? Remember that? Who are you going to get?
Oh.
You can't fire him. Who are you going to get?
Brutal.
So listen to all you guys out there saying, who are you going to get? Lincoln Riley wanted to coach Florida. So did Brian Kelly. Who are you going to get? All right? So this is what you have to understand. Yes. You're the University of Florida. You're one of the two biggest programs and the best conference in college football. Anyone that tells you who you're going to get, they're idiots, okay? It's simple.
I second that.
It's simple, all right? All right, we need to go to break. Do you want to get on and try and beat Terry and I? I mean, literally, we're not even that good at it. We haven't had that good a season, actually. So it's 904-641-1010. RJ is going to take the fourth caller, 904-641-1010, to pick against Terry and I, all right? You're going to win a sweet 1010 XL swag bag, which we're literally swimming in right now because we haven't given any away. None. All right, come back on the other side. We've got a lot to do.
This is the Buehler Air Conditioning Saturday Kickoff, brought to you by Regency Electric Company on 1010XL.
Looking for Brooks in the corner. Got it! Touchdown, Alabama!
You got a guy down. You got somebody's got to come through. It was Ja'Cory Brooks.
Leary in motion. The throw goes the other way. Mechie's in. Alabama wins in four overtimes.
My gosh, almighty Bryce Young. First off, Ja'Cory Brooks had six catches all season before that catch. And that 30-yard touchdown pass, Bryce Young, if he walked up to him and put it in his hands, he couldn't have thrown it better. All right? That's number one. Number one, okay? Without his best receiver for three quarters. Number two, the play call by Bill O'Brien on the two-point conversion, the second conversion, whatever you call it, a touchdown, two-point conversion. They were going for two-point conversions after the third overtime. Was a perfect play call. And Bryce Young just drilled Mechie. Perfect throw. That's Alabama. I'll tell you what, if anybody thinks that Alabama's going to get blown out by Georgia, Alabama's going to give Georgia everything they want. And I it's a little segue. I want to get back to what we were talking about, but it's a little segue of, in this crazy coaching carousel that we've been going through now for the last week and a half, I want to do my best public service announcement here and remind everyone of the 2015 Alabama football coaching staff, okay? That included, are you ready for this? Of course, Nick Saban, you know, the greatest coach in the history of college football. The offensive coordinator was Lane Kiffin, who's now the Ole Miss head coach. Just won 10 games, getting ready to win 11 games, which would be an Ole Miss record. He wins 11 games there. The defensive coordinator is Kirby Smart.
Oh, my God.
Who's now the Georgia head coach, getting ready to win his first national title and getting ready to put Georgia at a level they haven't been in 30 years.
And was as good a defensive coordinator as you'll ever find.
What am I saying 30 years? 40 years. 40 years.
Defensive coordinator is right. As good as you'll ever find.
40 Kirby. Years. Georgia last won in 1980. 41 years since they won a national title, okay? The defensive backs coach, a guy named Mel Tucker, who's now the head coach at Michigan State and just signed a contract worth 9,500% guaranteed million for Mel Tucker at Michigan State. The offensive line coach for that program in 2015, Mario Cristobal, the coach at Oregon, lost in the Pac-12 championship game last night, but prior had won two straight Pac-12 championships. Mario's getting ready to make a lot of money, be it with Oregon, staying at Oregon, or going back home to Miami. We're going to get into this a little later as well. Going back home to Miami and making a ton of money because Miami's ready to open the pocketbook for the first time ever. The wide receiver coach on that team, One, Billy Napier, who was just named the head coach at the University of Florida. And to bring it all back home to this wonderful city of Jacksonville, the linebackers coach on that team, Tosh LePoy, wow, the current Jaguars defensive line coach.
Wow.
Now, you want to hear something even more crazy about that unbelievable staff? That Alabama team lost to Clemson.
How about that?
They lost
to
Clemson on that crazy last drive when they Clemson had 99 or 98 plays in that game. They lost to Clemson in that game.
How about that? That also tells you that staff, obviously Saban is a great recruiter of football players, a great recruiter of assistant coaches. He's got a formula. He's got an eye for that. You don't stumble into that list just by happenstance.
No, and not only that, it's here's the thing, too. Saban is hard on assistants. No different than Urban Meyer was hard on assistants in college. That's why every time Urban went to another job, like, coaches didn't follow him because they just – it's hard to work for him. Yeah. It's hard to work for Saban. But when you win championships, you know, Bill O'Brien, who won 4 division titles in 6 years with the Texans in the NFL, wanted to coach for Alabama. Probably could have had an NFL job. Instead, went down and coached with Saban. Doug Marrone, when he was fired from the Jaguars, wanted to coach in Alabama instead of coaching in the NFL. So you get guys who want to come there. Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah.
He got there. You can go over and over and over. Mel Tucker went to Alabama. So I think you gotta realize it's Saban's ability to win, but it's his ability to also say, look, you guys can come in however long it is, 1 year, 2 years, if you need a reclamation project, if you just want to be in a situation where you're around a winning program, this is how we do it. We don't fool around. This is the process. We do it. We win games, and more times than not, we win national titles.
You know what helped Saban also? It timed out well with how he puts these staffs together. It timed out well. That thing that popped up several years ago called the analyst positions.
Right.
He uses that analyst position or those analyst positions as on deck a lot of times.
Oh, yeah.
He brings some on-deck guys.
Oh, yeah.
And then hang tight, we'll move you on, and then you move on.
Yeah.
It's
literally like planes at JIA. All right, he's going on the runway. He's gone. All right, bring the next one on. And that's literally – I mean, Mike Loxley was an analyst.
Yes.
Butch Jones was an analyst.
Moved
Steve
in.
Sarkisian was
off
an analyst. Go. Those guys all moved.
Off they go.
Lox moved into the offensive coordinator role. Sarkisian moved into the offensive coordinator role. Yeah, it's what happens.
About Saban being hard on assistant coaches, wasn't Saban – and help me out, Matt, if you can recall this. Wasn't Saban the guy that leaving – East Lansing leaving Michigan State to go to LSU, you know, he did what most coaches, hey, most of you guys come on with me, you know, if you want to, and nobody came.
Nope, not one.
Not one guy from Michigan State came with him to LSU, for God's sake.
Not one. And you know what else? Second year at LSU, he won the SEC.
Yeah.
So it's another thing with Brian Kelly I'm going to get into a little bit later. In a couple segments, we're going to get into that. It's another thing where, you know, the criticism of, nobody from Notre Dame left and went to him with LSU. That proves he's a bad guy. All right. Great. He'll win. Trust me. We'll get into that. He's going to win. All right. I want to get into one more thing here before we go to the next break. It's crazy how quickly college football turns. And I think part of this is because of the social media world we live in, where everything is live and die, where everything is so overreactionary. You know, who are you going to get? So I think – you got to look at it through that lens. But clearly, okay, 2 weeks ago, Florida State and Miami, I mean, it was literally death watch.
Oh.
It was Florida's going to fire the coach. Florida State's terrible. I mean, it was 4 weeks earlier with Florida State where they were going to have to fire their coach. Miami can't do anything. You know, Manny Diaz is terrible. Got to get rid of him. And all those people saying you got to get rid of Manny Diaz didn't realize it's been going on for 2 decades at Miami, okay? Not just Manny. Now, Manny needs to go, but it's been going on for a long time. So you've got the three big teams in the state, and again, the social media narrative was, what's wrong with the big three in the state of Florida?
Yeah.
How can they not recruit there? And, you know, how can they not win games there? And you know what? The next thing you know, Florida fans are pumped about Billy Napier. Yeah. And FSU fans, at the very least, are off the ledge about Mike Norvell in the direction of that program.
They went 5-3 their last 8.
Yeah, and could have won the game in Gainesville.
Well, they could have.
And Miami's on the verge of firing Manny Diaz and potentially hiring Mario Cristobal, with the idea that they're spending money on football for the first time ever, ever. And an alum and a Cuban son of Miami is there to turn it around. Are you kidding me? They're so fired up in Miami right now, they can't stand it, all right? They're going to get a guy, probably Gino Toretta or Alonzo Highsmith as their AD. The president has already said, we are spending money on football. So all that U Health money
because
for the Miami Health System.
Money. Getting it athletically is a different animal, but they've got
last
money.
Year alone, the U Health, this is what the Miami Herald reported, at $400 million of profit.
Say that again. I don't know if they, people, the University of Miami
Health System.
Yes,
University of Miami Health System, which is a big deal down in South Florida.
Yes.
The profit was $400 million.
Tied to the university.
Yes, tied to the university.
So let people know that, yeah.
Now, previous university presidents, including the most recent, Donna Shalala, had always told the football program, you eat what you kill.
Yeah.
So, in other words, you get 30,000.
You get
30,000 people in that stadium, you're only going to get that money. If you get 70,000 and fill it up, you're only going to get that money. You eat what you kill. This new president says, it's time for Miami to be what Miami was two decades ago. It's time for Miami to lock down the counties of Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach and start to win again like they should. This guy is a sports-designed president. So he says, we're going to take some of that U Health Miami money and we're going to put it in the football program. So the days of spending $3 or $4 million for a head coach are long gone. So now, here's Oregon. Oregon has a deal on the table for Mario Cristobal. That was reported 2 days ago out of Portland. So now Miami's at this stage. You're going to have to compete with Phil Knight, the Nike owner, the founder of Nike, who is a huge Oregon booster, all right? And he's going to put up money. You're also going to have to deal with the fact that Mario's wife is from the West Coast. She's from L.A.
Okay.
So she's closer to
the
family.
Know that.
Yeah. But this is Mario's job. Mm-hmm. Mario played at Miami. Like I said, he's a son of Miami. He's a Cuban.
That's his mama's calling me home.
Yeah, that's
his mama calling me home.
Not only that, honestly, unfortunately, his mom is very sick too.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know
actually
that.
He actually went to go see her.
Bear Bryant had the famous, well, when mama calls you home.
Yeah, you go. Right.
I gotta go. Yeah.
Right.
He
actually went to go see his mom less than a week ago, and people were already saying, oh, he's going to Miami to talk to him. No, he went to go see his mom, who's ill. So Miami is going to have to throw money, and it's not going to be like, okay, we'll pay you $5 million. No, Miami's going to have to start paying Brian Kelly money. They're going to have to start paying Lincoln Riley money. They're going to have to tell Mario. If they really want Mario Cristobal, okay, they're going to have to say—
And that money is two digits, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's two digits.
Yeah,
it's a one and a something behind the one.
It's probably close to a one and a something, all right? But I can tell you this. Yeah. Whatever it is, it's guaranteed all of it.
Ooh.
That's the new thing now in college football. When you've got an elite coach and you need an elite coach or you need to keep an elite coach, you just give them guaranteed money. That's what Scott Woodward started with Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M. It's what he did with Brian Kelly at LSU. That's what USC did with Lincoln
Riley.
That's
the college equivalent of the signing bonus.
It is.
In pros.
It is.
The signing bonus is all. That's how you take care of that.
Right.
It was Matt Hayes. Excuse me. I think it was Matt Hayes that threw, $300 million. Was it you that said Miami's kind of letting it be known, the president or whatever, we're going to push kind of
to
divvy out and build stuff and
they're
go
using,
athletics.
They're using so,
they're
so
use
ju-
some
just,
big money.
Just last year alone, U Health profited $400 million. Last year alone.
Yeah.
So they've got money. They've got money in the coffers.
That's what
you
threw out. Yeah, there's tons of money there.
It's not unlike what USC did with Lincoln Riley because USC also, for years, was a program that wouldn't pay coaches. And they would settle for second-tier guys.
And put lipstick on a pig.
Yes.
That facility out there that they play in, and it's not theirs. And
so Mike Bone went in there. Mike Bone was at Colorado, all right? And then he was fired at Colorado as the AD, and he went to Cincinnati. So those are two programs that are cheap programs. And he realized quickly that, look, you're not going to make it in this level, in this dog-eat-dog, Power 5 schools rule the day. You're not going to make it in this level unless you spend money. So he goes out to USC, which has the second largest endowment of any public university in the country. It's a Ivy League type endowment, okay?
Wow.
So he went out there and convinced those guys, look, you're going to spend money. If you want what you want, you're going to have to spend money. Not only did they do it, and here's another thing too. They were already on the verge of that anyway because they put $300 million in the Coliseum. They went to the city of Los Angeles and said, we want to buy the Coliseum. The city said, okay, and they put $300 million into it. And it's a beautiful facility now. So they did that, and now they're on the verge of, okay, Bone comes in there and says, look, this has to be done. If you want to win, You want to get back into the Alabama level. You want to get back into the Clemson level. If you want to keep Bryce Young from going to Alabama, if you want to keep DJ Uiagalelei from going to Clemson, if you want to keep Kayvon Thibodeau from going to Oregon, if you want to keep our Los Angeles kids from leaving, you got to spend money. So what did they do? They gave, and this is now they're a private school, so they don't have to give the numbers.
Sure.
But it's been reported that Lincoln Riley is going to make $12.5 million a year as the USC coach, right? It was also reported that they paid for his house in Oklahoma at $500,000 over value. They bought him a $6 million home in Los Angeles. And here's the kicker. Here's the kicker, my friend.
This is sweet here.
They gave him 24/7 use of a private plane for he and his family to fly anywhere.
Anytime.
And when I say anywhere, I mean Fiji, St. Petersburg, Russia, not Florida. Anywhere.
As I understand,
24/7.
As I understand it, I'm poor as the day is long. I've got some wealthy friends. Those kind of jets, you know, those Lear jets,
yeah.
Private, you're looking at about $10,000 an hour.
I don't know how much it is, but I can tell you this. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you this, right?
Yeah.
So in 2004, I got on one of those jets with Charlie Weiss when he was a coach in Notre Dame.
Gotcha.
So I went out and did a big story on him about, you know, why does everybody hate Charlie Weiss? And those things are sweet.
Yeah.
They are sweet.
What a perk that is.
Yeah. It's just for him and his family. So if his wife says, hey, Link, we're going to go back to Norman for the weekend, she just gets in the plane and they go.
Yeah.
You know, you can stay and coach or whatever you got to do. We're going to, you know,
yeah,
what? We're
the kids.
Yeah. We're going to go to, like, you know, the Canadian Rockies, all right? We'll be back in a week. All right, go. That is an unbelievable perk for a guy who, and look, I think Lincoln's a great coach. 3 playoff appearances. Clearly, they didn't get to the championship game or even win a championship, obviously. You know, the championships he won in the Big 12, he's a terrific coach. He's going to be an NFL coach at some point. Although, honestly, if you're getting $12.5 million, you got that deal, why would you? Who cares about the NFL? But I think he will eventually. But that's what Miami has to look at right now, because Phil Knight is going to give Mario whatever he wants money-wise.
Yeah.
Miami has to make it attractive as not only money, but you're coming home. We can do this for your family.
Yeah.
We can buy you a home here. Look, honestly, look, and I used to do a show with Brett McMurphy on Stadium a year and a half ago. And we had Mario on our show. And we were in a break, and I was joking with Mario. I said, Mario, you find a place where you can get a good empanada there? And he started laughing. He said, yeah, no, you know. So it's...
Which means?
Yeah, well, it's look, Eugene is fine. It's a fine
cute
city.
Town,
I don't
yeah.
mind it at all. It's a cute little town. It's
yeah.
not South Florida.
No.
It's not. Mario grew up there. He's a son of Miami.
Yeah.
So Miami's got to convince him not only with money, but with the, Mario, come here, you can do this. Your family can do this. This is what we're going to do for you. You're going to live on this water, blah, blah, blah.
There is no little Miami in Eugene. Right,
no.
There's no little Miami.
No, there's no little Havana. There is not
in Eugene. Real quick, getting back to the Lincoln Riley, it surprised a lot of the college football fandom, but because it happened what 8 days ago, seven, 8 days ago,
literally happened the day after he said. So they lose the Big 12 championship game. He's at the press conference. He's asked because the LSU ties was what it was initially.
Absolutely.
So he's asked. You know, somebody starts to ask a question. He says, "Let me stop you right there. I will not be the coach at LSU." But he didn't say USC.
No.
A day later, he took the USC job.
Where I was going was, that didn't just happen in 2 or 3 days.
No.
Remember, Helton got the axe weeks ago. So,
right.
Agent, people, clandestine.
100%.
But they, 6, 8 weeks ago, hey, would your guy, my guy might be considering, you got to keep this quiet. But that didn't just happen right around the time it was announced.
Okay, here's the thing.
6 weeks
and
ago.
I know we got to go to a break, RJ,
yeah.
but hang on. So, think about this now, okay? You're right about that. You're 100% right. So as recent as, I guess that would be 1, 2, 3. So, yeah, as recent as 3 or 4 days prior, his agent's reaching out to Florida.
Is that to jack the USC?
No. No, his agent's reaching out to Florida because he's legit interested in the Florida job. So
the last thing Florida needed to do was getting that type of war.
Right, right. In Florida,
in the 11th hour,
right,
you've
right.
already ID'd, like I said, the prom date. You've already identified your
right.
prom.
Right, and I'm sure the agent said USC's offering him this. Okay, I'm sure there was some leveraging back and forth.
Sure.
But
and they said,
at that point, I mean, honestly, if you really think about that, he's got that thing lined up for him, and he's still thinking about Gainesville. Maybe I should do that. What are they going to give me? Should we do that? Should we at least hear what they want to give me? Which is,
and boy, that tells you a lot about the Florida program.
Well, it tells you a lot about the Florida program. It also tells you a lot about the state of college football coaches.
Yeah.
And I don't mind this. And this is another thing, too. You know, these guys get ripped on social media. So what, man? Why are you upset with someone doing the best they can do and getting the most they can get? I don't understand that. Now, if your point is the players need some of that money, I agree 100%.
But that's a totally different argument.
It is, and it's totally. And it's coming, and it's coming very soon. Yes. Very soon, when they get the playoff and they finish the playoff and make it a 12-teamer, and you start talking about billions, $1.1 billion a year for the playoff, the players will get their money. All right, so we need to go to break. We've moved Mike Griff to right after the noon hour, 12:05. Griff's going to come on and break down the SEC championship game. We're going to come back on the other side. We are going to break down the SEC championship game. Terry and I are. And RJ, we got a guy who thinks he can beat us, correct?
Yeah. He's in Atlanta for the game, so, you know.
So good. Is he really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Good for him, man. Listening on the app to 1010XL. Is he a dog fan?
He just said he's at the game, so I'm going to assume he's a dog fan, but he's like, you know, I'm in Atlanta, right?
And that's our awesome, correspondent. Bro. That's what awesome. That is. That's we got awesome. A correspondent that's in Atlanta. Awesome. We're
I can tell you
to.
What, too. That I know we got to go to break. Hang
we're
on.
Not paying him anything.
One of the best things when I was working at the Times Union, one of the best things ever was we would go for the championship game, and you go there. You go Friday before is fantastic. You know, you go to the bars, you have fun.
Congress Center, yeah, all that.
Bianchi and I were going. I just have a blast. Okay, so all our buddies. You know, Pat Dooley. Robbie Andrew, Chris Harry. The Saturday morning, okay, when the game started, the best part of all, number one, there's chill in the air. Number two, they had a Christmas parade that went right by the Marriott.
Nice.
And you'd hear, like, the bands playing, the Christmas nice. Songs. And, man, it meant SEC championship. It meant Christmas.
Nice.
It meant winter. It was so sweet. All right, come back on the other side. We're going to get deep into this SEC championship game. It's Saturday kickoff on 1010XL, brought to you by our good friends at Buehler Air Conditioning.
This is the Buehler Air Conditioning Saturday Kickoff, brought to you by Regency Electric Company on 1010XL. Here's this week's Regency Electric College football electrifying memory.
We love this time of the year, guys, because playoff implications are running rampant for a few teams. It did the same thing just a few short years ago. It will seem like forever ago once I put out the date. December 5th, 1998. What today showed was the immaturity on defense. That's what befuddled Bruin quarterback Cade McNown said after realizing his national championship aspirations were now dormant on the floors of the hallowed Orange Bowl. After UCLA amassed 670 yards on offense, McNown had set the school passing record with 513 yards. However, this game was headlined by the ground-and-pound tenacity and big play ability of future Hall of Famer Edgerrin James, who would shatter Otis Anderson's single-season rushing record in a single game, which his 39 carries had also tied a Hurricane record that day as well. So let me paint the slide for you guys here. Collective breaths.
Paint it, brother. Paint it.
Collective breaths were held in Tallahassee, Knoxville, Manhattan, and L.A., where national title hopes hinged on the outcome of this game between UCLA and Miami. The day started with Kansas State, UCLA, and Tennessee all undefeated with one game left on their slate. K-State was stunned in the Big 12 title game by Texas A&M. UT was kicking off later that evening against Mississippi State. FSU had bounced back from an early season loss at NC State, and they were suddenly in the mix. They needed a few fortunate breaks, which they got. UCLA, when you look at their season that year, they had close games against Stanford, Oregon, Oregon State, and finally against Miami. This game between the two was originally scheduled earlier on in the year. However, there was a storm here in Florida, and initially this game was not supposed to be played at all this that season. However, in October, the game was reset for December 5th, which was odd for the Bruins because they routinely ended their season against USC. Miami ended UCLA's 20-game win streak after bouncing back from a pride-snatching 66-13 pounding at Syracuse the week before. But this game proved the 49-45 upset win. It proved that the U could play against the nation's best once again.
That was beautiful.
Let me see, in the words of Judge Chamberlain, Mr. Gambini, that was a well thought. What did he say? That was a well thought argument. That was a long one, brother. That was good, though.
That was beautiful.
It was good. Well done.
Beautiful. I remember the game. That was a fun game to watch.
Not only that, in the pre-show meeting, the Kansas State Texas A&M game came up, and Michael Bishop, who was a Heisman Trophy candidate,
yes,
played well in that game. Didn't play one off. Was actually outplayed by the Texas A&M quarterback, and I tried to get Terry on that one. Didn't get it. Bucky Richardson.
That's a beautiful pull.
The A&M quarterback then.
A beautiful pull right there.
No, he had a great game.
Hey,
too,
for our young listeners that don't remember, wouldn't recall, but they can recall not that long ago when Chip Kelly was high flying at Oregon.
Right.
They were scoring at will and they had a fun offense.
Yeah.
UCLA was Oregon before Oregon with that Cade McNown and Bob Toledo coach. That UCLA team could score. They couldn't stop anybody.
You remember that game? Literally could not stop a running nose.
Remember watching that game? That was a fun game, man. How about they had 607 total yards and lost, right? 607 and you lose.
670.
670 and you lose the game.
All right, quickly, before we get into the SEC championship game, I want a little shout-out to Bronco Mendenhall, who's such a good dude.
Man.
Such a good dude. I've said this so many times, whenever anybody asks me about him, he's not a football coach. He's a Renaissance man type of guy.
And please tell me that's not health-related. He's okay,
No.
He's just making a move.
No, Bronco retired at Virginia a couple days ago. Football does not consume this guy. He's a great coach.
Nice.
He's a great leader of young men. He's a great developer of young men. But football does not consume him. This is his quote. I want to say this quote to you before we get into the championship game. When Bronco retired, he said, "I would like at the end of my life to have so much value that people forgot I was a football coach."
Oh, nice.
"That they would have to go back and look it up." Nice. That's pretty good. All right. The SEC championship game. Now, in these big games like this, in key critical games, games of significance, games where championships are on the line, I typically go to one fallback thing. Typically, best quarterback wins. Typically, that's what happens, okay? Now, there are other extenuating circumstances, obviously. But more times than not, best quarterback will win when you're talking about elite games, elite championship games. You can go all the way back to, Texas-USC. Vince Young was a better quarterback than Matt Leinart. Matt Leinart won the Heisman eventually. Vince Young was the better quarterback. You can go all throughout. Cam Newton, best quarterback.
Sure.
Joe Burrow, best quarterback. Just over and over and over.
So that means?
I look at this game, all right? And Bryce Young, first off, initially, let's look at its face value. It's Bryce Young v. Steady Bennett. Who do you think wins that one?
I mean, no-brainer.
Right. It's literally a no-brainer. But I will say this. Bryce Young now, for some reason, and again, this is the vocal minority on Twitter, the guys that scream the most, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. It's amazing to me how people are trying to do everything but try and get this guy the Heisman. He has over 4,000 yards passing right now, 40 touchdowns against 4 interceptions.
That's an unbelievable ratio.
What he did in that Auburn game, okay, without his number one receiver, without his tailback, Brian Robinson was hurt, did not play in that last drive. And he's going to be, iffy in this game. What he did on that drive was unreal. He threw that touchdown pass, and I have to say this again and again because I don't think people get this. Brooks had 5 or 6 catches. 5 or 6 catches at that point. In the season.
Amazing.
He threw that 30-yard ball to him. By the way, he got it off from snap to throw, 2.4 seconds. He threw that deep ball in 2.4 seconds from the snap, all right? He literally, I said this earlier, he could not have made a better throw if he walked up to him and put it in his hands. It was an unbelievable throw that he made. So this guy has had a phenomenal season, and now everybody's talking about, well, what about Aiden Hutchinson? He's had a great season. Aiden Hutchinson has had a great season. He's got like 12 and a half sacks, all right? He's got like maybe 16 tackles for loss. You look at Bryce Young. If you're going to try and give it to a defensive guy, and believe me, the narrative is starting to change on ESPN. The same thing they did with Charles Woodson and Peyton Manning. Same exact thing. You're looking for someone else to get the award, all right? So if you're looking to give it to someone else, a defensive player, you're not going to give it to a guy who has 12 and a half sacks and 16 tackles for loss. He's had a great year, Aiden Hutchinson. He had a great Ohio State game. If you're going to give it to a defense guy, Will Anderson at Alabama has 14.5 sacks and 28.5 tackles for loss.
I haven't understood why his name never gets thrown
No one talks about him.
From the defensive
side.
He's had a phenomenal
year. He's had as good a defensive year as in the last 10, 15, 20 years in college football. No one says a word about Will Anderson. Will Anderson is going to be a big,
and he's got to come back one more year too.
Yeah,
right?
He's a sophomore. He's a true sophomore.
He's got to come back.
He's going to be a big, big, big problem for Steady Bennett today.
Now,
big problem
is Bryce Young, Will Anderson's biggest PR nightmare because Bryce Young's getting the PR.
It is. But I also think it's the idea of it's the Alabama offense, which now is everything since Tua got there. It's all Alabama offense.
Yes.
It's funny how it's gone from Alabama defense is everything
to
Alabama offense is everything. It's the Alabama offense, and I think it's also no one looks at defensive guys till they can't till they think that it's no one else, and then you start looking at defensive guys, okay, and now you're looking at Aiden Hutchinson because of what Michigan did to Ohio State, and I get that, and he was phenomenal in that game. He had an unbelievable game, but man, go back and watch Will Anderson this season. Watch what he's done. Georgia will not be able to block him. That's number one. They will not be able to block him, so he's going to be a problem for them. That's how I think that Alabama can get a little edge in this game, because if you can get a turnover, you can get a sack, a strip ball, a strip fumble on a sack, you can force Stetson to do a quick throw that, you know, where his arm strength comes into question, it doesn't get there on time, and you get a pick. Say you get a pick six, so you get a short field. That's how Alabama's going to stay in
this game. Yeah.
So if you're in this game, that's how you're getting there for your, if you're Alabama. And that also brings up the, what I like to say all the time, best quarterback wins.
Yeah. Getting back to Anderson real quick, I think one thing that might have hurt Anderson, Alabama hasn't had a lot of huge must-see national games. Normally, every year, early November-ish, they're playing LSU, and the whole world wants to see that game.
Right.
Right?
Right.
The Florida game was so long ago, it had a little bit of stir, but it was the third game of the year. The Auburn game, that wasn't the nation had to tune in because Auburn's bad. By Auburn standards. So Alabama.
But did eventually. It was like the highest rated SEC game in years.
It turned out.
Yeah.
But Will Anderson hasn't really had that, October, November show the world game because Alabama's opponent hasn't been sitting there, you know?
I'm telling you right now, I would guess. Okay,
he's a great player.
I'm a Heisman voter, okay? I would guess that, and I bet it's high 80s, maybe even in the 90s, voters don't even know who Will Anderson is.
It's unbelievable.
Literally don't even know who he is. So. I guess that some of them would find out who he is when they look up Aiden Hutchinson. Oh, let's see Aiden Hutchinson stats. And they go to CFBstats.com and they look up sacks because Aiden Hutchinson has 12.5. He has to lead the nation in sacks. Oh, who's this Will Anderson guy? Oh, wow. He's got 27.5 tackles for losses, too. Oh, wow.
And what did we say? He's got 14.5?
14.5 sacks.
Yeah. The other thing, Jordan Davis, a great season.
Great player.
And Jordan Davis, defensive lineman, it was kind of fun the first half of the season to throw his name. And he's this huge mountain of a guy.
Right.
He wears 99.
Right.
There's a lot of fun around him. Will Anderson, Jordan Davis, he can't be in the Heisman conversation because he's not the SEC Defensive Player of the Year.
No.
The SEC Defensive Player of the Year is Will Anderson.
No, he's not close to me.
You know what I'm saying?
He's not close to Will Anderson.
He's
not the best defensive guy on his team.
N'Kobe
Dean's the best defensive guy in
Georgia. Mid-season, I started going, well, wait a minute. How can Jordan Davis be getting the Heisman talk when if you were fair and impartial and you voted for SEC Defensive Player of the Year, it's not Jordan Davis, it's Will Anderson.
Believe me, if you're going to vote for a guy of defense for the Heisman, it's Will Anderson.
And maybe our MVP of this show all year is coming up next.
Yeah, he is.
Right?
He is.
All right,
this guy's a star. We're 1 hour down. Got another hour to go. We're going to come back on the other side of Saturday kickoff on 1010XL. We're going to talk with our boy, Mike Griffith, our SEC insider from Dog Nation and the SEC Network. Come back on the other side. Thanks again to our great friends at Buehler Air Conditioning for sponsoring the show. Come back on the other side. We'll get deep into the SEC championship game.
Let's go around college football with a 1010XL roundtable of hosts.
Just so you know, we're putting together a football team.
Brought to you by Buehler Air Conditioning. Stay cooler with Buehler.
All right, we're back. Saturday kickoff on 1010XL, brought to you by our good friends at Buehler Air Conditioning. Gary Bohannon, Baylor quarterback, will not play today. That's a bad, bad thing for Baylor. All right, you know him. You read him at Dog Nation. You watch him on SEC Network. He's our guy, Mike Griffith. Griff, good morning, good afternoon. It's game time, baby. It's what we've all been waiting for now for, 3 months?
Yeah, it's been Alabama and Georgia, right? Collision course. So, gosh, if you're Georgia, this Alabama team kind of limps in. I mean, Brian Robinson injury, that was kind of my thought leaving the Iron Bowl was, man, that was a costly injury for Alabama.
So what's the deal right now? Have we heard yet whether he's going to play or not?
Saban's been vague, but I've heard that he didn't arrive with the team. That could mean a lot of different things. It could mean he stayed back and got more treatment, or that he came in separately, or that he's not playing. So I don't really have an answer, but they've been very vague about it. I would expect that if he'll try to go, probably at the very least. But you know, Saban came out and said basically this game's on Bryce Young.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So Griff, we talked about this over the season. We've talked about this, and now it's right in front of Kirby. This is a game that's. It's not only big for the program, but I think it's big for Kirby personally to kind of get over that hump, right? Like this is what's staring at him right now as far as building Georgia, getting to the national championship game, winning the national championship. He's got to beat Nick. He's got to slay the dragon, right?
Well, that's it, right? That's the one thing he hasn't really done. You know, and obviously Alabama's been between Georgia and a national championship. I mean, you know, Florida slipped in there, you know, last year and got the win and got hot at the right time. And, you know, played Alabama pretty tough. Maybe the best Alabama team Nick Saban had. You know, and Florida was right there within one touchdown. You know, and Georgia knows the feeling. They were a touchdown away in 2018 and one play away in 2017 from a national title. And, you know, there's really no reason to pick Alabama unless it's just because you think Nick's got Kirby's number, which he's had in the last three games.
All right, so let me ask you this. We were talking about this earlier. Will Anderson's a beast, man. He's going to be a problem for Georgia. Can they get to the point you think where let me ask you this first. Will they double team him, do you think? Or can they get to the point where Will Anderson could be so disruptive that he could get them a short field with a strip sack fumble, you know, with a forced quick throw from Stetson where his arm strength's not going to show up and they get picked and you might even get a pick six. Could you see something like that happening?
Well, I mean, this is where Georgia playing that double tight end formation really helps, right? It makes them wider. Makes it a little harder to come off the edge. You know, when you got Darnell Washington and John Fitzpatrick, those are both really good blocking tight ends. I mean, you might see a three tight end set.
Right.
Because, you know, Brock Bowers is really kind of a hybrid, you know, more of an H-back when you think about it. But, I mean, Will Anderson's dangerous, but you're talking about accounting for one guy. This is a really good Georgia line when it comes to the pass blocking. Run blocking, not so much. You know, I did a show earlier today, and Florida ran for all these yards. I said, well, Florida was probably the best running team in the league the first half of the season. So, Georgia was not as good a running team as Florida was. I didn't think, you know, in part maybe because of the four-man rotation, which, you know, in season, you know, you don't break a whole lot of long runs, but you do keep everybody fresh. And Georgia's pretty fresh back there. But back to your point on Stetson, you know, against Florida, he was 10-19 with two interceptions. And, you know, do we think the Alabama defense is as good as Florida's?
Got to be close, right?
I'd say, yeah.
Mike, let me ask you, you kind of painted the picture a moment ago from the Alabama offensive standpoint, the running back situation banged up. They haven't been great moving people off the line of scrimmage, trying to run the football all year. With that said, do you think the Georgia staff is thinking Bama may just say to hell with wasting a bunch of running plays? We're probably not going to move them. Do you think Bama just spreads the hell out of this field sideline to sideline and just tries to create space and spread Georgia out and not really even waste a bunch of running plays?
Well, you know, it's still Saban, and, you know, those coaches, you know, don't give up on the run easily.
Sure.
And you got to do enough to keep them honest, right? And I suppose, you know, Tennessee really did have the best plan. You know, they got inside the Georgia 36 times. It's probably why Dan Mullen chose that film. I mean,
right? Again. Isn't that right, Griff? Huh? I'm getting so much grief on social media for saying that, Griff. So much grief.
Well, I mean, you know, isn't social media something? You know, you just want to tell these people that, you know, they can't handle the truth. Just, you know, go stick your head back in the sand. You know, the people that can't handle the truth that get mad. I had people, oh my gosh, oh, you know, you're writing that Georgia's supposed to win. Oh, stop it. You're going to motivate me. Shut up. Shut the hell up. Go away and stick your head back in the sand. I am not, this is our job, Matt, is right. To tell people what's going on. And if it doesn't agree with your narrative, I'm sorry. But Dan Mullen did do that. So why anybody would be mad at you, that is newsworthy that the Florida head coach is using Tennessee film to break down Georgia. Are you kidding me? That's that's man bites dog, right? The old saying, yes. Right? Dog bites man. That's not news. If you use Florida tape, so what? But, you know, so, and I just say that, you know, just for people in general that just don't want to handle the truth, you just, you know, you got to deal with it. Look, Georgia's supposed to win today, and they should win convincingly. And I'm sorry if you don't want to hear that message, but that's the truth. I mean, it's like getting mad at the weather. It's like saying to the weather, oh, stop saying it's going to cold. It's going to snow and be cold. Don't say that. Well, if it's going to snow and be cold, we're going to say it.
Griff just brings it, man. All right, so back to Terry's point real quick. I honestly don't know how Alabama's going to block Georgia. Seriously. The center left, Alabama's pretty good. I think they're really good, actually. Evan Neal's fantastic. But center right? Oh, my God, Griff. They're going to get destroyed.
Well, I mean, Nick knows that. No game plan for it. But, you know, Georgia's front seven is so good. I mean, this is the most complete team in the nation this year. It's not close. Now, if we start talking about all-time great teams, I think we need to let this playoff play off before we go there. But in terms of the front seven, I mean, it's the best I've seen since probably 92 Alabama. Just in terms of the dominance, and you got to give Kirby so much credit. Dan Lanning and Will Muschamp. I mean, what a brain trust of coaches there. Maybe the best defensive staff ever assembled when you think about, you know, the defensive minds there.
Yeah, it's really amazing. There. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And so, you know, but the question is, can that front seven kind of cover for a secondary? You know, when we talk with the Georgia players all year, they talked about, you know, hey, we're making mistakes. You're just not seeing it. And, you know, we need to go back to class on Monday and learn what we're doing wrong. And, you know, the Georgia secondary guys have told us that they've been a work in progress. And it's really been about that front seven covering for them. And then just the flip side, you know, get back to the other side of the ball again. I mean, you know, the Georgia offensive line is so good in pass blocking. And Stetson has brought a dimension. You know, I know we talked about the turnovers earlier the year, but he's gotten better each week. And he's brought a running dimension that Kirby really likes. And it's one more guy that the defense has to account for. And I think Kirby likes the rhythm the team's in. Now, that said, I mean, if push comes to shove, they've got options. They've got another quarterback that can throw the football. And that's why you pick Georgia, though. It's just because they have more answers. They have more options. But Bama, it's pretty much David versus Goliath, and Bryce Young is David.
Yeah, I was saying the same thing, that typically what I do in big games like this, when it's a game that's of significance where there's a championship on the line, typically I say best quarterback wins. But there's so many questions at Alabama and so much good at Georgia that you're almost willing to overlook the fact that if you're talking about strictly quarterback, my God, it's literally like an NFL player against a junior high guy. It's such a disparity. But that said, Griff, honestly, he's doing exactly what they want him to do. He's not, for the most part, not turning the ball over. So that's why he's playing, right?
Well, and he can run. And if Georgia wants, they've got an NFL quarterback, too. If they decide to play him, they got a guy that's 7-0 as a starter. He's got a quick release. Went to the same high school as Bryce did. In fact, when JT left Mater Dei, Bryce came on. Here's an interesting story about Carson Beck. Speaking of Georgia quarterbacks, I was talking with Bryce Young's dad earlier this week. Craig, real fascinating guy in the psychology business, which it would explain why Bryce is just like ice cold Terminator on the field out there. This kid was unbelievable. That 12-play, 97-yard drive, that's Joe Burrow stuff. That's legend. Yeah. That's legend stuff to me.
Agree.
Kyle Trask stuff. How about that? Make everybody happy. but I found out that if Carson Beck hadn't decommitted from Alabama, that when Carson decommitted from Alabama, that's what opened the door for Bryce Young to go there. I said, I'll be doggone. How about that?
Where was he going prior, did he say?
I think he was committed to USC, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, wasn't he? Yeah, he's a USC guy, I think. USC commit, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So Jake Fromm decommitted from Alabama, went to Georgia, opened the door for Tua, and then Carson decommitted from Alabama, opened the door for Bryce.
Wow. Wow. What a crazy, crazy thing. All right, so before we let you go, give me an idea of how Georgia's going to attack the Alabama pass game, because if Jameson Williams, he's back completely from the half game suspension. They got guys on the outside that can get it done. They can win individually. They got guys like Mechie and Williams that can win in man coverage. So what will Georgia do, you think, to slow that down?
You play that soft shell and keep them in front of you, and you know, you make Bryce pay. you get after them. You pick your spots, you get them in down and distance, and you go after, you pin your ears, and you get them. And you, and on the back end, you know, you give them that middle guy. They're going to give up some yards today. I would be surprised if Alabama didn't have at least 350, or maybe 400. I mean, Tennessee had almost 400 yards.
Right.
And but you just don't let them beat you with the one big play. So you play, you don't, and you don't really have the cover corners you had last year with Tyson Campbell, who was essentially a first-round pick, and Eric Stokes, who was a first-round pick, and Richard LeCount, who, you know, when he was healthy last year, was first-team All-American.
Right.
You know, last year you let Bama beat you with some big plays because you were playing, you know, a little bit more man matchup zone. You know, now it's a little bit softer, and you keep everybody in front of you, and you say, you know what, you want to take your chances? Go for it. But you're taking a chance because it's going to take this play some time to develop, and we're going to get to your quarterback.
You can run, but you can't hide. Get there with four, too. That's the key,
yeah,
right?
That helps.
Yeah, you know, you can run, but you can't hide. I mean, Bryce got sacked 7 times by Auburn. Now, Auburn was playing a very aggressive man scheme and bringing extra guys. You know, and the game situation determines this, too. I mean, if Georgia's up 17 points, they're going to play different than if Alabama's band is playing and it's 10-0 in the first quarter, right? Kirby's got to play chess here, and that means, you know, adjusting your strategy with how aggressive you are with your blitzes and your coverages, and maybe even a quarterback decision depending on the scoreboard. So there's going to be a lot of chess being played. Alabama's kind of got what they got with the injuries, the lack of depth, the lack of pass protection we talked about, only 2 primary receivers. They kind of got what they got, but Kirby, you know, it's really checkers versus chess.
Michael.
Right, Kirby can play chess. He's got so many pieces,
right.
So much talent, so many options, and Alabama can only play checkers with Bryce Young in the pass game.
Mike, a quick update. Anything new on George Pickens?
Well, I mean, he played last week. He played some. You know, Pickens is GP's a guy that's got to be fed, all right? These great receivers, they're not out there to get 2 targets and pass and run block. That's just – it just doesn't – you know, that just doesn't work, all right? And so GP's not a big factor with Stetson. Those 2 weren't a big factor last year. If JT comes off the bench, then you might see Pickens become more of a factor. But when you're only throwing the ball 15 or 17 times,
that's,
and you got 6 or 7 guys, that's not a lot of targets for anybody. I mean, Brock Bowers is the primary because he can be moved around and find matchups and take short, intermediate throws and take them the distance with run after the catch. So Pickens not as big a factor with Stead out there as he would be with you.
And a whole other topic we'll get into later. Brock Bowers did not make the Mackey list. Is that right?
You know, I kind of feel sorry, you know. And
how does that
happen? Well, the same way Jake Camarda wasn't the first team punter, even though he's a generational talent.
He's the best tight end in college football. How is he not?
It was amazing when he didn't make that list.
Yeah, it's amazing. But, you know, there's people on these committees and, you know, I mean, and I'm not saying sports writers always get it right, because part of the reason I started calling Georgia the no-name defense 3 years ago was they had like 1 guy make first-team All-SEC, and they led the SEC in every major defensive statistical category because you got a bunch of fanboys in love with Alabama. Sure. They don't get past the Alabama program, right? They follow Saban, they follow Alabama, so he must be great. I mean, I saw a freshman list recently, had a Georgia guy on there. So this guy's not a first-team All-American, but he's on an undefeated team. So, you know, a lot of it's marketing. These schools are really good, and Matt can tell you how it works. Yeah, they send press releases and pump this shit in your pump this stuff in your ear all year, and you vote, and maybe you didn't see everybody.
All right, you read him at Dog Nation. You see him on SEC Network. Griff, you're the best, man. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
All right, that's Mike Griffith.
Good stuff, as
Every
always.
Week, Griff just crushes it. So the Big 12 championship game's on. We need to go to break. But
what a hard-hitting game. My
there's two best defensive teams in the Big 12, and they are getting after
they
it.
They are, some, man. They're laying
some
the lumber.
Going on, and if you need to, turn on the TV because it looks like Clemson out there. Oklahoma State's going all retro. It literally looks like Clemson's running around out there. All right, we need to go to break. We'll come back. We still got to get with the – we got to do our picks, RJ. Yes, we do. I want to break down the Brian Kelly situation because I'm getting really, really annoyed with social media. It's Saturday kickoff on 1010XL, brought to you by our good friends at Buehler Air Conditioning. Come back on the other side. We got a lot to do.
It's the Buehler Air Conditioning Saturday kickoff, brought to you by Regency Electric Company on 1010XL.
All right, it's Saturday kickoff here on 1010XL. You bring us back with Lemmy? What, you think I'm Baloo? Come on, man. It's a Baloo stuff right there, Saturday.
You said you love Lemmy.
Lemmy's all right.
Nice little love song there, right?
Yeah. Nice little love song.
Little holiday love song there to bring us back during the holiday season.
All right. It's Saturday kickoff at 1010XL. We were going to do our picks, but apparently Shane.
Chicken.
Who called in and was like desperate about doing it. Yeah, well, Shane said he's somewhere where his phone might drop, and Shane dropped. So real quickly, we're not going to do the fourth call. We'll do the first caller. First caller, 904-641-1010. 904-641-1010. You can pick against us for a sweet 1010XL swag bag. We'll do that in the following segment, RJ, okay? Because I'm going to get into Brian Kelly real quick. Because I'm trying to get into this now.
Do it right now. Do it.
Been trying to get into this literally for an hour and a half, all right? So I told you all about social media, and I say this all the time. It's the best, worst thing ever, social media is. Now Brian Kelly, okay? It's all a rage now to rip Brian Kelly. He left Notre Dame. He got his $9.5 million. And he left Notre Dame after a three-minute meeting with his players, okay? Then he gets in front of the LSU fans at a basketball game and flaunts a faux Southern accent. And everyone now is jumping on Brian Kelly. A fake. A fraud. A guy who left Notre Dame in a lurch. Well, you know what else he is? He's a fantastic coach. One of the top five coaches in the game. He's a guy who won 54 games in the last 5 years at Notre Dame, where it's one of the toughest places to recruit with the academic standards that they have, okay? He's a guy who got to the playoff at Notre Dame two of his last 3 years and to the BCS National Championship game in 2012. He's also a guy who's at a university that doesn't have a standalone football-only facility. So, you know they have training tables at these places, and there are these huge rooms, and they have chefs, and they have nutrition experts, et cetera, all this stuff, okay? Just unbelievable work what they do with these kids, and I think it's great that they do this for these players, okay? Last time I was in South Bend about 4 years ago, and I was talking with Brian Kelly, okay? We walked out of his office, and we had to walk around a table that had a series of those hot food pans on it. That's Notre Dame's training table.
Wait a minute. You said
right outside of his office.
Notre Dame football doesn't have a standalone
football facility. They have something they call the Guggenheim. It's a all-sports facility.
No. Notre Dame football should have
their
own
football, freestanding football facility, okay? Not only that, they don't have a training table.
We walked out of his office,
and around this table.
Sterno?
The sterno things. Yeah, you know, the food things with the
Notre
sterno underneath
Dame
it. Yes!
Was rocking the sterno?
Yes! Okay, so think about that, all right? No training table.
Wow.
Okay. And the 54 games in the last 5 years, and if things play out right, oh, by the way, and Cincinnati loses, Notre Dame's going to be in the playoff three of the last 4 years. And when Brian Kelly left Notre Dame, the Irish with all those academic restrictions, all those you can't come to Notre Dame because you've got to be a good student and a good athlete. We believe in the idea and the concept and the philosophy and the ideal of student athlete. Brian Kelly, according to the 247 Sports Composite, 24/7 Sports Composite, okay, what everybody goes at when you're talking about recruiting, okay? Had the number 5 ranked recruiting class in the country with all of those restrictions.
Against him, yeah.
So now you're gonna plop this guy who's won a national championship at the lower NCAA lower divisions, who's been to 2 or 3 playoffs and since 2014, since the playoff began, maybe 3 or 4 if Cincinnati loses today. Went to the BCS National Championship games, won 54 games in the last 5 years. You're going to plop this guy, the winningest active coach in all of college football, into LSU where he can get anyone he wants in that school, where he has everything he could possibly want at his beck and call, and where Les Miles and Ed Orgeron won national titles in the last 15 years. Think about this. Nick Saban won a national title at LSU in 2003. He knows what that program can be with the right coach. He knows the players that go to that place, that he can get to that place, the right coach. Since he arrived at Alabama in 2007, Saban's had to deal with Les Miles and Ed Orgeron. Now he's got to deal with Brian Kelly. Are you kidding me?
That's
initially,
the
I thought Brian Kelly might win a national championship. He might win 2 national titles at LSU.
You said pre-show that, and I totally agree, the last thing the SEC, and specifically the SEC West, wants to see is LSU with a competent
Yes.
Football coach.
Yes.
Ed Orgeron was Ed Orgeron. Les Miles was Les Miles, right? And they out-talented in one national title.
On sheer talent
sheer
alone.
Raw talent.
Literally, so, in 2019, on sheer talent alone, LSU had the greatest team in college football history.
Yeah.
On talent. Talent and Joe Brady.
So people
they had 18 guys in the draft after that season,
how
right?
About that?
Here's another thing, too. Just FYI for all you guys saying Brian Kelly is going to be a flop at LSU. The last 3 years to LSU, top five recruiting classes. There are players at LSU. And there are good players at LSU.
You know who LSU opens up with next year? First game of the season, LSU-FSU.
Right out of the gate.
LSU-FSU.
Right out of the gate.
In the Superdome, one of those games. You know.
So listen, when you go on social media, you go on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and you see people making fun of Brian Kelly, just remember, they're taking that guy who has proven he can be a head coach. Proven head coach. Proven program builder, championship winner. They're plopping him into that unbelievable program at LSU with everything he could possibly want and saying, go win.
Your thought on Kelly making the move, all money induced? Did Notre Dame kind of say, you know, we've got our coach? Because Marcus Freeman came over as the coach in waiting. Fickell and all the names they got, they were never getting that job. He was the coach in waiting. Was it all money for Kelly? Was it, I want to try something
challenge
different
challenge
for
he's
Kelly?
He's the winningest
was
coach
Notre
in Notre Dame
saying,
history.
Hey, you know, we got our young guy behind you, so
no.
If you wanted to go.
No, it's challenge.
So pick it up.
100% challenge.
Okay.
It's so
new
so.
Thing. Something new.
So Jack Swarbrick,
old.
The Notre Dame athletic director, said Brian Kelly did not even give him a chance to match the offer.
Gotcha.
It was Brian Kelly seeing, I've hit my ceiling here.
Yeah.
I've reached my ceiling. I'm the winningest coach at Notre Dame. We got a chance to be in the playoff for three of the last 4 years. I've taken this program as far
How
as I can take
How many years at Notre
it.
Dame? Like 12, right? Dozen-ish.
Maybe a little more. Maybe
a little
like,
more, yeah.
Maybe, let's see, 2000, I think probably 2008 yeah. was yeah. his first year.
And 10 years at Notre Dame is, yeah.
A lifetime everywhere else.
Everywhere, yes, yes.
It's
yes.
the hardest
you
place
just,
to coach.
I mean, Lou Holtz did 11 years, and he had to grind the last couple. It's hard. Notre Dame is a
every
a
coach
great,
that has coached
tough
there,
job.
Yes, it's not just the football. The football is 10% of your job.
Yeah.
It's dealing with all the Subway alums. It's dealing with all the other sports. It's dealing with everyone outside of football wanting a piece of who you are inside of football. And Brian was telling me that 4 years ago. 4 years ago when I was sitting with him, he said, this job wears on you, man.
And that's an international university.
Yes. Yeah.
Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, Georgia are not international.
No,
that's an international university.
You are literally, you know, and you hate to say this, you are literally taking shackles off this guy and saying, go win games. Go to where you can get anybody you want, any player you want, go to the best conference in college football, recruit there, and then go win. I'm telling you right now, and when he's 10-0 next year and they're playing Alabama, or 9-0 when they're playing Alabama, all these people that are ripping him right now are going to be saying, oh my God, what a great hire that was.
There's some ball players.
What a smart hire that was. All right, we need to go to break. RJ, did we get someone or we need to grab someone?
We got somebody.
All right, it's Shane. You know, Shane was fired up, too, man. He was our guy in Atlanta,
nice name,
too.
Shane.
All right, it's Saturday kickoff on 1010XL. We're going to come back. Thanks to our good friends at Buehler Air Conditioning for sponsoring the show. We're going to come back on the other side. We're going to do our picks and give who we giving, RJ? What's his name?
Sean.
Sean. All right, Shane and Sean. Simple. All right, we're going to give Sean a chance to win one of these sweet 1010XL swag bags that are up to our knees here in the studio. Come back on the other side. All right, John, it's your time, my brother. This might be the last one. Might be the last show. I think we're going to try and get a playoff show. I have our boss, Steve Griffin, and good folks at Buehler Air Conditioning. We'll see what we can do. This might be the last time someone gets a shot at us as far as picking. John, are you ready? You ready to bring it, man?
Let's bring it. Let's
John,
do it.
John, before we get started, I have a huge question for you.
Yes, sir.
Are you a S-E-A-N, Sean, or S-H-A-W-N? Very important.
I'm an S-H-A-W-N.
All right, that's better than that little S-E-A-N sissy, Sean.
I have no idea what that means. All right, let's go.
Welcome.
What do you got, RJ?
Big bad Sean.
You got the first pick every time, Sean. Go ahead, RJ.
Okay.
Five games on the docket. The first game, we will start with Michigan versus Iowa. That game's going to be in Indy, an 8 p.m. kick. Michigan, minus 11. Sean, start us off.
Oh, man, I see it at minus 12 and a half, but I'm going to go Michigan. I'll lay the points and go Michigan.
I'll take Iowa in those points.
Yeah, that's way
11 and a half.
In a championship game, 11 and a hook, yep. RJ?
I'll take Iowa in those.
So I had 11. Sean's saying that it's just up to 12 and a hook.
Sean, yeah, Sean, I could be wrong there. I'm going
to
give you a break right here. We're going to give you 12 and a hook. You want Iowa? Just want Michigan?
No, we'll stay at your point spread.
Right.
We'll stay at your point spread.
Sean. All right, so
I'm
Sean
taking
wants Michigan.
Michigan.
He wants
Sean with
blue.
An H.
All right, I'll take 11. That's a lot of points in championship.
You're taking Iowa.
Yep,
points.
I'm taking Iowa.
All right, second game on the docket: Pitt versus Wake Forest. This game's going to be in Charlotte, 8 p.m. kick. Pitt -3.5. Sean, start us off.
I'm gonna lay the points and take Pitt. Give me Pitt.
I like where you went there. Pitt, a little better defense. Wake Forest just doesn't play much D. They score a lot, but don't play much D.
That quarterback's pretty good.
Yeah, terrible on defense.
It'll be a fun offensive game.
It could be. Yep. It could be. Pitt's pretty good on D. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give Sean a chance. I'm going to take Wake. I got Wake.
Real quick, Spencer Sanders just threw
another turnover.
Another
second
pick
turnover
in the first quarter. Man, when he's good, he's good. Right, when he's bad, he's bad. Yeah.
Go ahead, RJ.
A team looking to stay in the top four, Cincinnati. Houston at Cincinnati, a 4 p.m. kick. Cincinnati -10.5. Sean, how do you see it?
Oh, God, I wish that was the over-under, because I'd definitely take the over in that game. Give me Cincy.
I'll take Houston in those points. By the way, yes, that game is at Cincinnati. In that conference, you don't play at a neutral site. You play at the home field of the highest-ranked team.
I see a trend here, Sean. You're taking all the favorites.
All right, man, it's been all chalk so far. I'm
chalk.
Sorry.
All right. No, that's fine. No problem. I'm gonna take the points in Houston. I like the offense in Houston with Dana Holgorsen. I think they're playing pretty good defense, too. Their DC, by the way, is a guy that's going to get a Power 5 job here shortly as well.
Yeah, we just need Houston needs to make a. Cincy needs to make a statement. That's
Sean,
why I think
Sean,
they'll
hang
run
on
the
now.
Points
you,
up.
Sean, you don't jump in like that. You're the guest.
Yeah.
We'll let you know. Okay, go ahead, RJ. Go down, Sean.
Fourth game on the docket. Florida has a new head coach. He will not be coaching, according to reports, in this game. App State at Louisiana, a 3:30 kick. App State -3.
Let me give you an addendum real quick, RJ. I think what you saw. Napier won't coach in their bowl game.
In the bowl game?
He'll coach today in
He'll
the championship
today?
Game,
yeah,
yes. That's what came out. So, Sean, I didn't want to confuse you there on that.
Well, App State on -3 in this contest. Sean, start us off once again.
So Napier's going to coach. I'm going to go Louisiana with Napier. Then we'll get him back down here to Florida, and he'll really show us what he can do.
Louisiana won huge in the regular season.
By 28.
41-13 or whatever.
By 28 they beat
With
them.
That said... Yep. App State. I'll take App State. They're going to win the game outright. They're going to win today.
Are you out of your mind?
App State. You make your own pick over there, Matt. You get off my pick.
Louisiana won by 4 touchdowns.
Get off
when they
my pick.
I don't care if the running back for App State was hurt. I don't care. 4 touchdowns?
All right.
I mean, this is like the easiest bet of the day. Take Louisiana. And the points.
The final game, and you'll be able to hear it right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Georgia versus Alabama. It's going to be in Atlanta. There are those that say that Nick Saban is going to be haunting Kirby Smart. Others say that this is just a preview to the Alabama Invitational. I mean the college football playoff. Georgia -6.5 against Alabama. Sean, how do you see it?
Oh, this hurts. This hurts so bad being a Gator fan that I'm actually going to pick Georgia.
I'm going to take Alabama in the points.
Are you?
Georgia wins in a close game, but I'll take Alabama in almost a touchdown.
This thing screams late cover. This thing screams 27-27, last drive of the game, Georgia scores 34-27 cover.
That's kind of where I'm going.
I'm taking the Dogs.
Dogs
to cover. Yeah, I think
to get a late touchdown.
Late touchdown win by 7.
And cover it by a heartbreaker.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, and good luck to you, Sean, and enjoy the championship games today. Good luck.
Good luck, Sean.
Good luck, Sean. Appreciate it,
guys,
man.
Guys, thank y'all. Thank you,
man.
Appreciate y'all letting me play. Take
sure,
care,
man.
Guys.
Sure. Hey, Sean, I mean, honestly, I basically gave Sean every opportunity to win.
Yeah, come on, Sean.
If something crazy happens, it's not my fault. Like, if Wake wins and Houston wins, not my fault. I gave him every chance to come in and pick up one of these swag bags. So
I mean, Sean, if you don't win, we got to move them all into storage. And
let's hope. Look, Baylor's driving again on Oklahoma State after that pick. They're down inside the 2, first and goal. They're up 7-3. this Big 12 championship game might be getting out of hand for Okie State already.
How about Sanders, the quarterback at Oak State? That's his MO for 4 years. He's really good
or really bad.
And it can change in game. He can be cruising along and go bad, or he can be bad and then he can get hot. But man, he has thrown two ugly picks in the first quarter.
I will say
this. Right?
College football it's big on momentum. Okay. Baylor wins this game. You see the other underdogs that are watching this game. Yeah, we could do this. We can win this game. Houston sees this. We could win this game. Houston's out there warming up. They hear 14-3. Yeah. Baylor over Oklahoma State. They're thinking, hey, we could do this.
By the way, Cincinnati's loving this.
Huh?
Right? Cincinnati's loving this.
Of course. This could lead to a little uncertainty, let's say.
So they just switched into the field, second quarter. But Baylor's inside the five, right? Leading 7-3.
Baylor's inside the two.
Inside the two.
7-3. First and goal, actually.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, we need to go to break. We'll come back. We'll wrap this thing up. It's Saturday kickoff on 1010 XL, brought to you by our good friends at Bueller Air Conditioning.
Getting game day underway.
The Bueller Air Conditioning Saturday kickoff on 1010 XL. Brought to you by Regency Electric Company.
All right, we're wrapping it up on Saturday kickoff. Brought to you by our good friends at Bueller Air Conditioning. You can play RHCP anytime you want, brother. Anytime. I don't know if you knew that. Anytime, any break, any bump. Right?
How good are they?
All right, so we're back on the Saturday kickoff. It's 14-3 Baylor, all right?
Set this up, man.
Two picks by Spencer Sanders already, which of course means he's had five in 34 attempts against Baylor this year.
This is their second time playing him.
So it's interesting, this game.
We're in the second quarter, but his two picks were both in the first quarter.
They're down 14-3, and Baylor now knows they can win, and now Baylor's defense, which is fantastic all season, is now really getting after it.
A long way to go in this game, but right now, if this holds, Cincinnati's happy. Notre Dame is happy. If Iowa could do something crazy in the Big Ten, the total chaos could be starting.
It could. Cincinnati's got to win. I mean, there will be people on that committee that think Baylor should be in there instead of Cincinnati. So Cincinnati's got to win. Because I'll go over Cincinnati's schedule again, because it's annoying as hell to me that people think Cincinnati is worthy of a spot. They're not worthy of a spot, okay? I don't care if they beat Notre Dame. They're not worthy of a spot.
You know what really hurt Cincinnati, too, with that schedule? Indiana being god-awful. Most people thought after the year they had last year of the Hoosiers, Indiana was like 1-8 in conference play. They were terrible.
Yeah, it's...
You thought you were going to get a top 15 win over Indiana. You know what I mean?
I got a couple things I want to hit, but since you brought that up, so annoying to me that people think Cincinnati is deserving of a shot, okay? This is the Cincinnati schedule once again for everyone, okay? Once again, Miami of Ohio, Murray State, Indiana. There's your Notre Dame win by 9, by 11. A good win.
In South Bend.
Temple, UCF, Navy, Tulane, Tulsa, South Florida, SMU, ECU, and now Houston.
That's kind of awful.
Almost lost to Navy, probably should have lost to Navy, almost lost to Tulsa, probably should have lost to Tulsa.
I'm being a little facetious here, but Matt, if that schedule gets you in, why wouldn't you be one of the big boys and go, I want to become an independent and just play that schedule every year and get in, right, Matt? Right?
If that schedule gets them in, if I'm Boise State of years past, I'm ticked off, man. I'll tell you that right now. So here's an interesting thing. I want to get into this because I spoke to you earlier about Mario Cristobal and the idea that he could end up at Miami. So Akron just announced that Joe Moorhead is its new head coach. Now, this is significant because Joe Moorhead is the offensive coordinator at Oregon. He's a well-thought-of coach. He was a former head coach at Mississippi State and didn't work out. It was just a bad fit after 2 years.
Just the wrong fit.
Yeah, bad fit. So he left, and then he was the OC at Oregon. He's done some really nice things at Oregon with that offense. Now, if you're Joe Moorhead, and I get it, he wants to be a head coach. But if you're Joe Moorhead, you wait a day or two just with the possibility that if Mario does leave, you might be the guy in line for the head coaching job at Oregon, which is just a smidge better of a job than Akron.
The Zips.
So, take that what you will. That could mean that Mario is leaning toward Oregon or that Oregon's already got a deal with Mario. I can tell you this. I got a lot of Miami buddies, including Big Surse on 1010XL. daily from 12 to 3, Cirs and J.J. LaSalva, just crazy Miami guys, obviously.
Right.
They don't get Mario. Those are going to be two upset guys.
Yeah.
Two very, very upset guys. The Oklahoma job also still open. Mm-hmm. I would not be shocked in the least if Oklahoma's waiting on Luke Fickell. And if that is their guy, and that's the guy they want, and he coaches, and let's say they beat Houston, and they get in the playoff, if I'm Oklahoma and that's the guy you want, I say, you know what? Luke, we want you. You do what you got to do with Cincinnati. Stay there. Compete for the playoff. Prepare for the playoff. Go after it.
But you make we got to make it public.
We've got Bob Stoops as our head coach right now, and he's recruiting. Stoops is literally on the road right now recruiting for Oklahoma.
But you've got to make it. You say if you're Oklahoma, we've got to make it public so we can still recruit to you.
Right, right. But my point is this. What a situation to be in if you're Oklahoma. First off, you lose Lincoln Riley, which was an absolute kneecap. Sure. Unbelievable kneecap. Like, you know, why would Lincoln leave? And you get all that, right? You've got Bob Stoops, who's one of the best coaches in college football in the last 50 years. He did so many great things at Oklahoma. Now he's willing to stand in for nothing. He doesn't want any money either. He's willing to stand in and recruit for Oklahoma. So if you really want Luke Fickell and you're waiting there, you got Big Game Bob recruiting for you for a month.
That don't suck.
No, it does not. All right. That's Saturday Kickoff. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for your participation, Sean. We appreciate it. I hope it works, man. I hope you get the sweet 1010L swag bag. Thanks again to our good folks, Mueller Air Conditioning, who have sponsored the show all season. And, of course, RJ Saunders making it happen on the board.
Job, RJ.
Have a great day, everybody. It's Championship Saturday. Go watch some ball.